If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the perfect love of the divine source. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening our seminar topic is, are you experiencing the dissolution and falling away of your old world? Are you experiencing the dissolution and falling away of your old world? So, as we always like to do, let's start with an attunement. And as you take a deep breath, connect consciously with your intention to your divine self and breathe it down through your body. Ready? Deep breath. Contact, connect, and breathe down into your body. Commit yourself this moment to the divine spirit that dwells within you as you. You are the divine source, closed temporarily in time, space, and human form. That is to make the invisible love and light and divine sound current resonate and transmit through your body-mind complex, touching to myriads of dimensions, beings, and worlds. You are a transduction coil of divine perfection, bridging immortality and the temporal worlds of completed creation. All of the worlds beneath the soul realm are completed. That means we but revisit previous momentums. We but opt into, through choice, the exercising of new parallel probable possibilities that are not exercised until you make the choice and step into them. Each choice leads to consequences. Each consequence leads to more repercussions and more consequences. And this is what has created and defined and given definition in every aspect of what we call our, quote, world. We literally are living in the world of our own mental projection. There is no world apart from that. For example, when you fall asleep at night, where is that world? Don't you find it curious that when you go to sleep at night, you enter another world that is every bit as convincing and real as this one? And then you wake up in the morning and it's like, whoa, none of that happened. That was just a dream. And this world begins, when you really look at it, to look exactly as much of a dream as the one you just left when you were sleeping. What is that? That is an experience of the soul or the consciousness, the higher awareness, changing points of view. That's all. Changing light wave coordinates, if you want to be more technical, of the particles and waves that constitute the wavelengths of manifestation. But isn't it interesting? Study these things. This is how you, for me, really enjoy the plays of consciousness, how you can position your consciousness in one direction and see a whole different version of life, shift wavelengths, and you're in another reality, another world. Shift wavelengths, and you're yet in another. That has been referred to as soul travel. But you see, the soul cannot possibly travel because the soul is omnipresent. It's everywhere. In the particularization of the human form, you might say we're occupying a rather consistent point of view that shows up each morning and goes to bed with us each night. And we have a little respite from that as we go into another world, as we sleep and dream. But then we awaken again and again to the same dream. I used to wonder how to stop the world and get off. Well, we're going to share tonight a little bit about that, because I think many of you are doing that. You just probably didn't know it was going to show up like it has. So, to begin with, let's just notice how perfect this moment is right now. Just notice how you're quite all right. If you're peaceful and quiet enough to be listening to me right now, hey, you're doing okay. Chances are you had some food. Chances are you have a roof over your head, or at least some shelter. Chances are you're intact. You're not bleeding to death or dying of something. Chances are you're probably quite fine. Now, as a very useful spiritual practice, at different points during the day, stop and notice that. Just notice how within the moment you have always exactly what you need. You get into trouble when you project tomorrow's needs and yesterday's experiences. When you try to mix those into the present moment, you generate worry and mental agitation, and it takes you out of the awareness of the perfect present moment. So you're moving into a way of living in which you manifest and create your reality through the energies of love, bliss, and service to all life. Love, bliss, and service to all life are the animating creative potencies that give definition and form within the new energy that we are currently moving into and residing in more and more consistently. That is why your old modus operandi are not working. Your old ways of thinking and being are not working. These things are backfiring very quickly, or they're flatlining to where they just hold no more energy or attraction at all for you. And both are good signs. There are signs that you are actually enlightening yourself. You're actually moving into this new dimension. Some of the indicators that our world dream is starting to dissipate and dissolve from your mind, I think, are becoming familiar to many of you. However, I'll bet that few, if any of you, have associated what you were experiencing with enlightenment. No, I think in many cases, you've laid claim to everything from feeling totally worthless, depressed, even suicidal, to losing your mind, having a mental breakdown, or the onset of dementia. Many, many people complain of that right now. But happily, we have better answers to give you. So let's first of all identify what usually motivates our social and world-related involvements. And it's our karma. Our past actions are the leading momentums for our present involvements in life. So whenever we have issued ourselves an edict, such as, I must complete this, or I simply have to have whatever, or even having a so-called bucket list of things that you have to do before you die, or kick the bucket in common American vernacular, Whenever you do that, you will have to return to fulfill your own edict. So that is what happens when you make these wish, desire, or bucket lists. You will have to complete what you set in motion. That's your karma. And what happens if you die before you've experienced everything on your bucket list? Well, you'll have to embody to complete it at some point. So the key here is to live one day at a time and to pronounce it completed at bedtime. Don't postpone things till later, maybe, when I get around to it, one day. Don't do that. No future promises. Just live one day at a time. Offer your actions to the Supreme Spirit and let them be put to bed with you each night. Pronounce completion. Don't even leave a book around that you say, well, one day I'm going to read that book. Don't even do that to yourself. That's how the Divine Spirit honors your desires. So, really, the good news in this is that your desires, every single one of them, and your wishes must be fulfilled. Must be. The bad news is that you may have to keep returning to this earth for who knows how many countless more lifetimes to accomplish that. So it's far wiser to recognize that right now what you have in your life is the best thing for you. You chose it, although you forgot that you did that. Your life was planned before you incarnated, and your present moment is exactly what it needs to be for exactly what you need to do here and now today. And just let that settle. Seething discontent that runs so many people in the background of their minds. Another alternative behavior that would be quite useful is to become more aware of what you give your voice to. Watch your words. Speak less. And when you do, make each word earn its keep. In other words, make sure that the words you speak are energizing what you want more of in your life. What you want more of. Being a disciple really means bringing more self-discipline into how you live your daily life. And that begins with watching the words you speak. Our objective is to allow our true authentic self to find expression through every area of our life. In fact, the secret to manifesting, the real secret, like Sai Baba does, for example, and like all masters do, is to have agreement between what we are inwardly and how we act outwardly. And when thought, word, and action are aligned in total agreement, you'll have perfect manifestation. That's how Sai Baba described why he can think of something and it instantly appears. The reason so many of us are hit and miss and sloppy in manifesting what we say we want is because we, you know, we're all over the map, mentally and emotionally, and really few of us have any idea what we really want, much less what we truly need. So, did you draw the connection between the word want and lack? To want anything is to believe you lack it. And if you are the divine, embodied in human form, how could you be in any way wanting or lacking anything? Good question, huh? Whenever we would say to Sai Baba, he would often look at you and ask you, what do you want? And of course, many of us would say, well, I want this, I want that. And I remember, in particular, a person said, I want peace. And Sai Baba said, okay, well, cross out the ego, which is the I, sacrifice the want, which is the desire, and move into the peace, which is ever present. So every form of suffering, regardless of the form it takes, is unnatural to the true son and daughter of God that you really are. And whenever suffering arises in any level, it's the sign that you've bought into an illusion. So many of you are experiencing, at this time, the disillusion and the dissolving of your world, such as you have defined it. And we will explain, because I can see many of you are going, what? So this dissolution is the result of your awakening and beginning to see from the inner light of higher spiritual awareness. Remember, I've said in many seminars that whenever you look at anything from the pure gaze of the inner self that you are, the soul, when you look at anything through those portals that you call your eyes, which are windows of your soul, when the soul light looks upon anything, whether it's inner or outer, the illusion falls aside and disappears, and the truth is revealed. That's really the secret of revelation and prophecy and seership. That's really the secret. Nothing more than that. It's simply looking at something from the higher level of awareness. So we've spoken in many seminars about how your seeing in the light of higher awareness dissolves illusion. Just like a mirage or fog dissolves in the sunlight. I think we all have a clear image of what it's like to see fog disappear in the sunlight. Well, think of fog and illusion as the same thing. And sunlight is the S-O-N light, the light of the inner Christ that you are looking through your eyes. Perfect analogy. Sai Baba often says that nature is the best preacher and life is the best teacher. So we have around us all of these forms of enlightened wisdom speaking to us all the time through the natural elements that we see every day in nature. Everything has a corollary to the consciousness. So full awakening and enlightenment, or living from higher spiritual awareness, entirely changes the way you see and feel about everything. Suddenly you are seeing with a clarity, compassion, and understanding that you never even knew existed prior to awakening. You have literally stopped the world and gotten off. You have permanently left the old self and the old world behind, just like a butterfly released from being a caterpillar confined in a cocoon. Again, a perfect analogy. Everything looks and feels different. And like the butterfly, you are a new creature in a new world of freedom and light. The people you once found common ground with will either resent and resist the new you and depart your life like ships bound for a different destination, or they will come to learn from you how to do likewise. So when people leave, let them go. Bid them well. Don't have any hard feelings, because that will create karma too. Just bless them and realize that they're bound for a different destination. Or maybe they will come to the same harbor, but later. Everyone has a built-in timing when they are meant to awaken. So let everyone be. Let them go the way of their own soul's destiny. Well, like the butterfly, you have entered a new state and need to become adjusted to feel comfortable in it. Your new awakened state has a built-in whole array of resources and aptitudes that are natural to it. every time you enter a different state of consciousness, you have the built-in mechanism to adapt to it. For example, when you leave your body and soul travel, or you leave your body permanently in terms of the crossing over through death, you will find that there's built into both of those processes a state of knowing and aptitude that naturally surfaces when you're in that situation. You can count on that in every situation. The divine creator who made you has created you with adaptive technologies within your own consciousness, suitable to every single level of consciousness you will ever enter. That's why you need to stay present here and now. Those are not activated in this moment. You don't need them. I don't think any of you are dying. You may be soul traveling, because that's what I do and what happens when people listen to me. But you're able to run those levels, is what I'm saying, when you are moving into them. Every moment, you always have what you are capable of handling. And you're never given anything you can't handle, ever, period. So, like the butterfly suddenly finding that it has wings and can fly, and no longer has that furry, sluggish body of a caterpillar, you no longer have the sluggish, heavy, karmic body holding you in limitation and lack. You soar on the wings of soul flight. And for you, the sign would be the winged heart. Its two wings, to me, represent confidence in spirit and trust. Those of you who are experiencing this sudden sense of freedom may relate to this winged heart symbology. I know I surely did. You know, as soon as I had that experience, it's like, oh, that's what that winged heart means. Okay. And that's what carries you over the abyss of the unconscious realm, the Mahasuna, it's called, the void. You've got to have those wings of spiritual confidence and trust. And you just soar over that area of darkness, which always guards the radiant soul realm. And each realm is protected by this zone of unconscious darkness. The Mahasuna is the big etheric field that you have to pass through to get to the soul realm, which is truly like the magical golden kingdom of God. It is that. So you have entered a new state of awareness, and your old life, interests, relationships, beliefs no longer feel right, bottom line. And you don't know what to do about any of it at this point. So many people write to me and they say they have problems suddenly. They want to move. They want to leave their husbands. They want to go off, start a new life, a new career, a new job. Or they're trying to sell their house and it won't sell. There's many, many variations on this. They feel like they're doing nothing. They're in a null zone. They're tired of everything. They don't feel inspired. They don't feel love, all of this. And it's simply a sign that they have emerged in a new level where the old feedback that they were depending upon to give vitality and life and meaning and purpose to them is no longer there. It's shifted. It's different. So you feel like a fish out of water. And most likely, you'll try to make those outer changes at the level of form. And this is not where to begin. For changing the outer forms in your life is like shifting the furniture around, but it's still the same old furniture. You know, you haven't done anything. So, for example, you may suddenly feel like you no longer feel comfortable in a relationship, or a marriage, or a physical location. Of course, you don't. You're a new person in a new level of consciousness. Of course, you're going to feel different. Now, sometimes, In fact, this just happened to me. With my change of consciousness, I had a complete change of everything. A new living companion, a new house, a new car, a new location, everything for me changed. Everything. And I wasn't comfortable with any of it. I, too, was seeking by every possible means I could think of to return to my cozy, comfortable past that I thought was quite wonderful, quite familiar, quite blissful, quite peaceful, quite spiritual. But, you know, as I've often said, there's always a plus element in spirit. There's always more. There's always next. You know, you never can rest back on your haunches and say, well, I've made it. I'm God realized. We're good. No, you're not. You've just barely got your toenail into the higher levels of consciousness. You haven't even begun to explore the many mansions of an ever-unfolding God force that continues to reveal itself through beauty and creation. You haven't even gone there yet. At least consciously. I mean, there's a part of you that's there, of course. But I'm talking about the person listening to me right now. That part is the part that's in the illusion, though it is, of becoming that, awakening to that, realizing that. And then there's a part of you that's never, ever been anything else but that. But we don't need to talk to that one, do we? We need to bridge the two. We need to bridge the two. So, nevertheless, allow the parts of you that you have defined as your comforts, your world, your predictables, your happy-go-tos, with all of its forms, to just find their own new definition. Just let them find them, sort themselves out and find their own place, okay? If you're too hasty with attempting to redecorate your life with new furniture, like a new relationship, a new spouse, a new move to a new house, location, whatever, or change careers, move to a new job, whatever it may be, the tendency if you're too hasty is that you'll simply be recreating what you've just transcended, and you'll land right back in the karmic field of your unenlightened past. Karma has often been defined as being spelt S-T-U-P-I-D, because when you're in a karmic momentum, you're never conscious. You always go unconscious when you're in a karmic state, which means you don't have your right mind with you. You are being driven like a slave with a whip of past momentums that you can't remember. They're operating out of the subconscious, and they're doing you. But there's no conscious presence when you're in the karma. So that's why you need to wait upon the Lord. You need to wait upon Spirit, which, again, is not an outer thing. It lives within you as you, speaks to you through your intuition, through your heart, through your sense of what's appropriate and right for you. It speaks that way. And you're guided very organically and naturally to find your way in this new terrain. It's not a hard thing. In fact, it's so simple that you can't believe that you just moved into the enlightened fifth dimensional state, because it's not like anything you thought it was going to be like. I am sure, speaking of that from my direct experience. So, you've just awakened beyond the third dimensional ego mind projected world, where the ego was the doer and decider. At least that was the illusion that you had bought into, that you, which really was the ego, was the doer and the decider. Now, that which is greater has taken charge of your life. Now you're being led by the inner spirit, the soul, the real you, is now operating through your body, mind, feelings, and life. And it feels like nothing's happening. Yeah, feels like you're not doing anything. Because it's natural. There's no effort. It's easy. So you may initially feel like nothing is happening because you aren't feeling anything. Just sort of neutral. Not exactly, meh, but not really feeling for or against anything. Neither for nor against. Yes or no, doesn't matter, they're both the same. Really hard to make a decision, I found, because I really don't have a preference one way or the other. I just am quite happy as I am, doing what I do, or not, it just is. But many feel without any sense of purpose, goal, vision, or direction. I know I have felt that. But when that comes up for you, stop right there and be, capital B-E. Really just stop and be with yourself in your new state without resisting it, without trying to retreat into the past or your happy go-tos for comfort and security. Just chill and observe your state and allow it to unfold and reveal what it has to offer. You know, for example, like a calm and quiet mind, free of any form of anxiety, drama, worry, ambition, driving momentums, have-tos, deadlines, commitments, whatever, whatever. All of that stuff is mind chatter. What if you just let it all go? What if you just let it all be? What if you just dance to the tune that was being played in this moment the best you could, as a metaphor for what you do in your daily life? And just let it be what it is without making any kind of an issue over it at all. The thing is, we have all become so used to heavy egoic drama and emotive intensity defining our lives that we really don't know what to do with a sudden absence of any of that. It does feel like nothing's happening. I'm not doing anything. I'm not earning my keep. I'm not doing my mission. I'm not fulfilling my destiny. I have missed my calling. You know, all of this sort of stuff, I think, surfaces for all of us. And the sudden absence of inner conflict and outer drama is, you know, it's crazy-making to that old karmic, egoic, self-projected world that the first go-to when this happens to a person is, you know, what's wrong with me? What have I missed? Where did I take a wrong step? You know, we always seem to go to that negative self-indictment place, don't we? Yeah, we all do that. We're all so afraid that we're going to miss it. How can God miss being God? But, you know, you don't think that when we're going through our crazies. So the truth is, nothing at all was ever really happening during our former drama and passionate involvements. At all. Nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. It was just drama. Just drama. With about as much meaning as you would go and see a Broadway drama enacted on the stage. It's like, yeah, it's entertaining, but then you leave the theater and you get on with your life. You don't take that drama with you as being something that you have to have and keep promoting. And our lives are like that. And one day we're going to have to leave it all behind. Everything you've got in your life now that you're making such a big deal out of, one day you're going to have to say sayonara to it. everyone, everything. Everything is for a time and a season, and you can't take it with you where you're going. The only thing you could take is yourself, is your love, is your wisdom, is your compassion, is your experiences, is your awareness. And everything else, you leave it behind. It served its purpose. You don't even want it. It's like going back and visiting your storage after you had it in storage like I have for maybe close to 20 years. And you can't even remember the stuff you had or why in the world you would ever have wanted it in the first place. And it has no place in your new life, none whatsoever. And that's when you have a tremendous sense of freedom to just say, okay, goodbye, don't need it. You know, let whoever wants to have it, and you step free. That feels far better than going through your past and trying to make sense of it and trying to see what part of it you might want to import into your new life. I can tell you, you're not going to want to import any of it. It's all been there, done that, finished. Let it go. That state's being forced on an awful lot of people right now through the earth changes. Not that I would wish that on anyone. I mean, I have at times lost everything I had through floods and different things, but, you know, it's a hard lesson. It's, you know, I hate to see anyone suffer. And attachment is the worst bondage. You know, when you're attached to anything to where you feel you can't live without it, that's worse than living in a prison. It really is, because it keeps you imprisoned to that person, that condition, that state, that thing, which you know, just given the nature of things, that it's going to be passing from your hands at some point, in some way. It's just a matter of time. Some, you know, some things come through your life really fast, and some things stay for a few years. But they're all temporary. They're all on loan to you. And they're all just simply for you to experience your own self in the context of duality and polarized experience. That's all. So when you said you wanted to ascend, what did you think that would look like? What did you think it would feel like? Well, what if I told you you are ascending? You are ascended, and you have ascended. Depending on where you've parked your consciousness, all those three things are true. And did you think you could carry your karmic baggage with you into soul transcendency? I mean, did you really? Did you really want to? So to awaken means to experience the former things that used to define your world, fading out. And the new things are starting to come into view. A gradual fade out in the hierarchy of importance that you've accorded everything in your life. And then the fading in and coming into view. Totally new things. That's how the new era dawns, collectively and individually. For example, another thing. You may find you're losing a sense of time. Time is really the noose that binds us to karma and reincarnation, both big, huge illusions, but still they're operative, seemingly operative laws that pertain to all creation beneath the soul realm. What should be myriads of worlds and universes and galaxies and beings. You know, the cosmos is vast, and everything we see in the microscope is an illusion. And yet it looks so real, doesn't it? It's all like a, you know, like in the Truman Story, if you saw it, it's a big backdrop. It's painted to look like a sky and you know, everything that's there. But it's just stage props for the education of soul on the stage of life. So you may find you're losing a sense of time. A month may seem to pass like a week. And you may write strange futuristic dates on your checks like I have. I wrote 30-something the other day, 30, 25 or some crazy thing. And again, yesterday will feel like it happened a month ago. It's like, gosh, was that just yesterday that happened? Wow, feels like a month ago. And suddenly you find old memories of hurt and grievances have simply dissolved from memory, and along with them, the former emotive feelings. Now, you may interpret this as no longer caring or feeling, and if you did, you'd be inaccurate, for you are actually experiencing an area where the world has been dissolved in the area of your karma. That part of the world that was held and given context by a particular karmic interaction has dissolved. That's why when you go back into it, you don't find anything there. That can happen mentally too in an experience. But I found that you can really notice it where you've had a grievance or you've had hard feelings or something. And usually you can tap right into that, but now you go to do it, and if it's dissolved, been dissolved through grace, there's nothing there. There just is no more charge on it at all. It has been dissolved in the light of your soul and your own grace. So the enlightened state is one of expansiveness and clarity. And that's pretty much it. Expansiveness and clarity. There's nothing to protect, defend, justify, explain, rationalize, question, debate, doubt, or any of those things that made up the ego's worldview. So no wonder it feels neutral. Isn't that interesting? Even in terms of gender, that's such a hot item now. People's trying to define their gender identity. But soul has no gender. It's neither male nor female. So when you move into soul consciousness, you're going to feel like you don't really relate to either gender. If you try to define that into the world of form, you'll feel like you have to choose whether you're going to be involved in same-gender interaction or you're going to have the traditional male-female interaction. You see, brings up a lot of questions when you define yourself in terms of your body and its plumbing system. And what to do with it. Now, if you just leave yourself alone and realize that you're a soul, you're neither male nor female, you've had a bazillion female lives and a bazillion male lives, and as soon as you move into the body of light, you can do anything you want with your plumbing or your appearance to make it look any way you want to make it look. So why have gender reassessment surgery when you can just sink the way you want to look in the next dimension, and you will be that way. You see what I'm saying? So this transition, when you try to define it and make sense of it and find your definition in terms of the form, the body, body identity, body image, that's where you create a lot of upset for yourself unnecessarily. Again, everything you desire in your heart, you must have fulfilled. You must have fulfilled. So if you really want to be another gender, you will re-embody as that gender. So why not enjoy being yourself, whatever that self is? Celebrate it, enjoy it, but realize it's temporary. This earth body is just a costume. You know, you're on a 3-day fair. Carnival, you know, enjoy your costume, enjoy your mask, enjoy your charade, but it's very temporary. And who and what you are is eternal, omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. Yeah. Let's just say it simple. You know everything, you are everything, and you're everywhere present. And you're all powerful within that. As who you truly are, not as the fiction that you've imagined yourself to be. So with this dimensional shift of consciousness, you will find colors, scents, sensual experiences of all kinds more intense. Now that may seem like an opposite of what we just said about the ego's world, but the ego really doesn't enjoy anything because it's never present in the moment. It's always projecting agenda. So it's never present, enjoying the taste of what it's got in its mouth with what's on its plate. It's already got an eye to go back to the buffet table and get seconds. It's already eyeballing the dessert tray. You know what I'm saying? The same thing with sex. You're not really enjoying sex when you're in the ego form. You're rushing to the climax before you've even started the foreplay. You see what I'm saying? You're not present with your action when you're in egoic projection. Only when you show up as the soul do you really enjoy life, whether it's sexual expression or food or the sunset or conversation or any interaction with another person. You only can enjoy it fully and truly when you're in that higher consciousness. So you'll find that life is so extremely rich, and each moment stands in its own specialness. There is no rush to the next thing, or to be, or do, or anything. You just can sit and enjoy the sun. You can listen to the bird song. You can be still without needing media involvement, without text messaging and constantly being on your iPhone. You can just be present and filled with life. And in terms of your spiritual work, now it's so simple that you may feel like you're not doing anything at all. And you're not. You're right. You aren't. The divine spirit is flowing through you, unimpeded by the ego mind. So there's no sense of doership on your part at all. It's as easy as breathing in and breathing out and being yourself. There's no longer an ego doing occupying the center stage. The ego mind has dissolved in the light of soul awareness. All the former energy that went into holding a worldview of separation and fear, holding that intact, all of that energy has been transmuted into radiant light and inner power and strength. So you didn't kill the ego. You simply incorporated it as energy and transmuted and transfigured it into greater radiant light, power, and strength. And this is where you clearly see that all things work together for good. Everything in your life, once you've opened your heart and your life to God, you are finding your life becoming very simple, very honest and sincere, because there's no need for any masks of pretense. There's no need for mood making. There's no need to make an impression upon anybody. You just enjoy and celebrate who and what you are. Suddenly you can find yourself very happy and contented. Whether you're with people or you're alone, it just doesn't matter. When you no longer need people only for what they can do for you, you find an ease and a relaxation socially that you didn't have before. When you were out hustling and working your agendas and striving for some personal benefit, outcome, or gain, when that dissolves, you can suddenly just relax and enjoy people. For the first time, you're able to be present 100% and listen to what another is saying. You no longer need to interrupt or just jump into their lines to offer your opinion or one-upmanship. You are offering true unconditional love with no hooks, no personal manipulative agenda, no neediness, no codependency. Just observe how much freer you feel in terms of how you're experiencing all relationships now. You no longer have special loves, as Jesus has called them in A Course in Miracles, where the ego is working its agenda. And as soon as that is not met, the person is discarded to be replaced by another. That's what is defined as special love, which is really a mask, Jesus says, for animosity and hatred. The energy changes. That's why a person can say, oh, I love you, I love you. And then the next day they're in divorce court and calling them horrible names and defaming their, slandering their character. That's the ego's special love, which is no love at all. That's why it shifts like that. So the ego is always out for selfish reasons, you know, being totally incapable of love. Because the ego mind, by definition, is the very form of separation and fear. That's its form. It has no form but the energy of separation and fear. That's what we call the, quote, ego mind. So pure love casts out fear, as the two cannot coexist in the same mind, which would then be the sane mind when it has shifted to love. So you have returned to sanity, another way to look at it. And you now feel a sameness towards all people. And that's been called compassion by the Dalai Lama, and agape love by the Christ. But again, you're going to feel like perhaps you have fallen out of love with your special other, because that person all of a sudden is no longer a special otherness, but you recognize the same love for all beings. So you see, you have been dissolving the world of separation and suffering and pain all along, as you've been faithfully working your spiritual disciplines and walking your spiritual path. You see, I'm just sharing with you some of the things that you can recognize now as part of your ascension. You are becoming lighter and more radiant every day. It just wasn't exactly showing up in the way you recognized as enlightenment and freedom. The ego mind had you convinced that you'd be walking on water, levitating, manifesting great abundance, controlling people and situations, and feeling powerful, magical, and all that. Well, didn't it? Try doing any of those things, and they're going to put you in the zoo. Or worse. But instead, you've noticed you have no interest at all in wielding worldly power and influence. That's what we didn't expect. We don't care about that stuff. Instead, we enjoy a serene, peaceful life, filled with simple pleasures, and compatible, like-minded friends. That's kind of as good as it gets, doesn't it? You'll enjoy a slow meal with good conversation now. You would rather live more simply than to sell your soul to the world of commerce just to buy more stuff you don't really need or want. Now you truly understand why you actually feel more joy in giving things away and lightening your load than buying and having more stuff, particularly for yourself. So you have literally reversed the world. You've turned it upside down, as the Course in Miracles would define your state. So the enlightened, awakened person lives by the exact opposite approach and values of the ego-driven. Exactly opposite. That's where you have reversed the world. You've literally stopped the world. And you have gotten off. And while it takes sometimes a while for some people to adjust and integrate, I would say that your state, in terms of what I understand it at this moment, is permanent. You can't lose it. You will not fall back. But do stay vigilant, because as the old saying goes, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So when you know the truth, that you are an immortal embodiment of the one divine, supreme, creative spirit who dwells in you as you and operates through you as the co-creative agent throughout the cosmos. When you know that, you will know your value and your worth, and you will celebrate every day of your life on this planet or wherever you may happen to be. You will celebrate life because it is eternal, and you're living that life right now. And the old world is simply dissolving and falling away, like all things do in nature when they've served their purpose. They quietly are replaced by the newness. So embrace that newness. Embrace it with joy and gratitude. And who cares what you feel? Feelings have never been the defining state of anything. But know that whatever you feel, feelings change. Whatever you think, thinking changes. But the pure awareness of your omnipresent self, that is you, and you will have that as you throughout eternity. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting, Anahi Hu. Deep breath. Anahi Hu. And raise your holy hands and send the blessing from your heart. May all the beings in all the worlds experience happiness, bliss, and peace. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Adonai.